So this morning, I am going to share with you some thoughts on the Word. And the Word is that of God. The Word is God. Also, the Word creates. And the Word reveals. Our words carry great power. With our words, we can encourage and build up. We can speak with love and compassion. We could just as easily discourage and tear down. There is great power on display every time our mouths open. And the Bible spends so much time referring to the tongue of man and the responsibility to harness its power. We could read that in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. While it is true that our words carry great power, we have nothing on God. Peter wanted his readers to remember the power of God's word. God created our universe. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water by water. It goes on to say that God flooded the earth. And we can read that account in Genesis chapter 6. And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, through the which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded by water, by God's word. We also notice that Peter says that God will destroy the earth and ungodly men. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he goes on to share with his readers, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. He's reminding the saints in the first century and us today, we have to be on our guard. So the word of God, the word is God. We might fill our days with many spoken words, but they will never compare to the power that is found in the words of God's mouth. In the words of God's mouth, recorded in the Bible, are powerful and we must stand in awe of them. God is communicating to you and I through the Bible, through his word. And the written word of God is powerful to prove that Jesus is the Christ. We see that this fellow named Apollo, who was very eloquent and strong in the scriptures, Priscilla and Aquila got a hold of him and say, look, you're missing out on the point. And they taught him. And when he wanted to go across to Acadia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who have believed through grace. For he was powerfully refuting the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. something that we can, you and I should be doing, searching the scriptures so we can understand how to communicate God's word to others. The written word of God is powerful to convict us of sin. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, we read, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. That responsibility falls on our shoulders, so that we can exhort in sound doctrine and we could refute those who are false teachers. We also see in the word that it helps us to know God and his love for us. In Paul's letter to the saints at Corinth, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which these things we also speak not in the words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Where do we receive that instruction? That is found in God's word, in the Bible. The written word of God is powerful to make us wise to seek salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood that you know the sacred writings, which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be equipped, may be adequate, equipped for every good work." That's our responsibility that falls on you and I, to meditate on God's word, to put it into action, and above all, to share it with others in the world. And the word of God is powerful to convert us from sin to Jesus. We see in Acts chapter 13, verses 46 through 48. And this is where Paul was on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. And he says in verse 46, but Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first," talking to the Jews, "since you reputed it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as been appointed to eternal life believe. Again, the word of God is for all humanity. And we as God's children have that responsibility to share it with others. And the word of God is powerful to build up our faith. We read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We are so blessed as his children to have his word, to have the Bible as our standard of living. So the word of God, the word is God, and we see that the prophet Jeremiah, he warned the people of Judah for many years concerning their eventual destruction because of idolatry and sin. And he was ignored by the people. And in order to negate his preaching, many other self-appointed prophets preached that all was peace and prosperity. And we see in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 29 through 30. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. The word comes from God, not from humankind. Mankind doesn't conjure up his own plan, or so they want to think. The word comes from God, and we should recognize that in our life. In a time when the godlessness of the world is ever increasing, it is more important than ever to heed the word of God. Even in our times today, we look out in the world and it's so perverse. They're putting themselves first as opposed to putting God first. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 105, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We also see that the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God knows what we think. God knows how we respond. God knows us better than us, ourselves. We have to be on guard. Let us not put the word of God aside. Let us dwell upon, meditate on, pray about, and put into action God's word in our lives. God's word provides guidance and direction. And God's word shows us the way to go and what to avoid. When we are lost, it is there to guide us back to the right path. When we are feeling alone, it is there to comfort us and to remind us that God is with us. That is precious in the life of a Christian, to rely on that, on God's word. And the word creates. If you turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend. John goes further to say in verse 14 of chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we read, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. That John shared the word with individuals, and now he's sharing it with us today through 1 John. And in the Revelation letter, we see that in John's vision in chapter 19, verse 13, he says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So Jesus was with the Father during creation. We go back to the Genesis record in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moved over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And Jesus was with God and the Spirit. And the word creates. The Hebrew writer says in the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, God, after he has spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, and in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the word reveals. The Word of God has the power to reveal to us certain things that we could not know in any other way. And that's, for example, how and when the world was created. The reason man is the way he is, that was sin. And that theme goes from Genesis through the New Testament. The word also reveals the true nature of God and what happens to us after we die. God gives us the word, and it's up to you and I to put it into our lives, put it into action, so that others can see God in us. Human beings could study and speculate on these things for thousands of years and come up with many theories. But that's all they are. That's all they'll be, just theories. Because no one could really know. God's word gives us an eyewitness, truthful and detailed account of things about God and human existence that we can never know otherwise. We go to God's Word. God's Word is eternal. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is true, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. It's constant. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. What he says, it is. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, we read, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That's very comforting to know that God's word is true. And those who take refuge in him are protected. We also see that the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. It won't change. It won't fade away. It's constant and it will stand forever. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Let's remember that. God's word helps us fight against sin. We read in Psalms 119, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Again, you read the Bible and you see what God, the way God wants you to live as a Christian. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And again, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. In James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Again, put the word in action in your lives so that others may see you as a Christian. We are to study and teach the word of God. In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul had the opportunity to go to a place called Berea, and Luke records this about the Bereans. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Again, an admonition for you and I to study the word, to prove the word to our lives so that we can emulate that to others. And Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When we meditate on God's word, we transform ourselves to become like Christ so that we can be better equipped to share God's word with others. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, or Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And Paul goes on to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, and we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The word has the power to prepare us for eternal life. In Luke 12 and verse 40, we read, "You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." We have to prepare ourselves. Study the word. And the word of God explains how Jesus redeemed us. The Bible explains that the death and condemnation are caused by sin, and how Jesus has redeemed or paid back our moral debt to God for sin by dying on the cross. And this is the core message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus for our sins. God's word calls us to receive Jesus. When Peter was preaching the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he comes to this point in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. "Now then, they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to him, 'Repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God encourages us to repent. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For it is you are living according to flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." His word is full of examples for us to follow, us to emulate in our lives. Great blessings. We could humbly follow those who went before us. And the word tells us the truth, that true faith is demonstrated by sincere repentance. And that's one thing we have to remember. We all fall short and sin. And it's up to you and I to correct that by going to God in prayer. So we see that the word is God. The word creates, as demonstrated in the scriptures. And also the word reveals. And it's a joy for us as children of God to have that in our lives. If you're in the audience and you have not become a Christian, we'd like to invite you this morning to put on Christ. Accept Jesus as your Lord. Turn away from your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into his body. And if you're a Christian and you're not following the way of God, we'd like to assist you and pray with you and encourage you to turn your hearts once again to the Lord.